Ladies and gentlemen, guess what? It's Mean Green Nation Podcast. And the sky's a little bluer. Coffee tastes a little bit better. Life's just a little bit more grand after a North Texas win. Don't you agree, Mr. Greg? Go Decker.
I do. I'm sitting outside on my patio. There's not a cloud in the sky. A train is passing by right now with a lot of happy people. So, yeah, can't argue about it being a great day.
Yeah, it's I was, you know, like gauging my wife's reaction. She was like, "Wow, yeah, it feels nice to win. I almost forgot what it feels like." And yeah, it's been since October of last year when we beat University of Texas San Antonio at home that we've gotten a win. It's the first win in September, you know, since 2014, right? Jeez, you put it like that. Yeah, your North Texas Fighting Mean Green Eagles beat up on Bethune-Cookman 41-20, and I want to say right now that I predicted a 45-21 game in the season previous. I feel good about myself a little bit, and I also predicted.
I feel even better about myself because I predicted 450 yards of offense from North Texas, and I nailed that right on the head.
And I also said, I think crucially, that this game would not feel like the blowout that we wanted. And I saw you tweeting that you felt like we were, or not, you didn't tweet it, but you put it in the Slack that you felt that we were losing the whole time. So I think overall this is kind of expected, which makes me feel good about myself, one, but then about the team, because I feel like we're kind of on schedule and we're not throwing any surprises out there. However, I will say that the quarterback play was a little disappointing, more than a little disappointing, I'll say. And, you know, I have some questions about the coaching staff. And, yeah, I think we'll go through the game with the fine-tooth comb, maybe. Maybe with just a hairbrush. And we'll kind of pick it apart. How we felt about it, what we thought about it, some of our overreactions. I think my gut felt one was, I'm glad it's good to see us win again. And I thought the defense and the special teams played outstandingly well. And that's fine. That's good. That's it. And I was happy with that. So some people were like, "Well, you got to take perspective. It's not going to be able to apply later on." He was like, "You know what? I don't really care about that right now. You got to get to basics. And some of the basics are you play the game to win. You play this sport to win the games." Is that Herm Edwards? You play to win the game. And we won the game. You got to enjoy it. And if you're not enjoying it, then I feel like you're doing it wrong. So I'm enjoying it. Mr. Greg Godecker, how are you feeling this morning?
I guess maybe I was a little too negative last night. But, you know, one, I don't think our passing record book is in jeopardy anymore. I'll still stand firm on that opinion. I didn't like how we couldn't pass the ball against Bethune-Cookman. I don't know if that's necessarily what Cookman was doing or what we weren't doing or what the game plan was, because it just seemed like we were going to run fades all night long and, you know, the little quick outs and, you know, the screens along the sideline. That's pretty much all we did passing-wise, which – I get it. You have a true freshman, and you're kind of protecting him. But still, if you spoke so highly of him, I would have thought that the whole offense was in play. And if the offensive line was doing as good a job as they were, why couldn't we do some other stuff? Or were we just not? I guess we just weren't showing anything for the Florida game. That's pretty much what we were doing. You know, we knew we were going to win, so we're not going to show anything for Florida. I was really impressed with the physical offensive line play, especially after last week where we saw that we couldn't really do anything. You know, Latrell in his after game press conference, he said that he challenged the offensive line early in the week. And I think that they knew that with a true freshman quarterback starting his first game, that they had to be ready to go. And they were. I mean, Bethune-Cookman, even though they're an FCS team, their defensive line was one of their strengths, and they had good talent up there, and we dominated them. So it's gonna make you feel good.
Yeah, I think those are good points to make, and things that I hadn't really thought about. I think yesterday, after some time, after a good night's rest. I feel more good about the win. I wrote a little recap, and I think I also was a little negative in there. I feel a little bit more positive this morning. I think that's just what happens to you when you sleep. Here's a couple things about that. That if we thought we were going to win, I don't know. That kind of contradicts with what Seth Luttrell was preaching during the week. He's like, North Texas shouldn't be overlooking anybody. This team had a wake-up call last week. And he's right. I think I wrote something along the lines of, that's just good advice for everybody. You should always respect your opponent. I think North Texas had the talent. They had better talent than Bethune-Cookman. Now, having said that, next week, Florida has better talent than we do. And so, same situation applies here. Let's not get into Florida just yet. I want to talk about, the quarterback situation and some thoughts there. And then I guess we'll get into the offense as we go through the game. We'll go offense, defense, special teams, just to kind of orient you, the listener. I asked everybody, what'd you think about the game? Let me know what you want to hear us talk about on the podcast tomorrow, meaning today. And I had a couple things, one of which was, all right, well, we played two quarterbacks. What does that mean? A couple people mentioned that. I was surprised to see Mason Fine start, but then also not surprised. I was surprised that it was not because of injury, at least not because of any announced injury. Having said that, it seems like Seth Luttrell is going to go with the approach that he doesn't mention anything about injuries unless it's a season-ending one. So, we gotta note that there. That might also be why Willie Ivory didn't play last week? ?
Possible.
Yeah. That said, Mason Fine, to my eyes, does a great job throwing east-west, screen game, quick outs, and his main strength is in his ability to be decisive. And this offense, the quarterback especially needs to be decisive. He needs to quickly read the defense, decide where he's going with the ball, and get the ball out. And that's where Morris has been struggling since about the third quarter of the SMU game. And it continued on tonight. He just looks indecisive. And my little guesstimate is that it's becoming because he doesn't have confidence in his like touch passes, his lob passes, and you mentioned the fade routes. Those are awful. He threw three straight fades and they were pretty terrible. They were like they all should have been intercepted. This goes back to last week when he threw an interception on a couple deep passes. So I'm wondering if that he feels like he doesn't have it and that's making him press because he's trying to force it or something, overthinking. So Mason Fine looks better doing that, running the offense. Seth Luttrell mentioned that in his press conference that, he looked good running the offense. He can move the ball, and he's right. But then you look at his stats, and, he only completed like 50% of his passes for about 100 yards.
Right. And he wasn't really accurate with the ball either. He was kind of a lot of the passes were off wide receivers' hands, and they didn't have really a chance to catch the ball.
Yeah, and he didn't really throw the ball well deep. Do you have any thoughts on that? Why, maybe? I think it might be just a height thing.
I think our wide receivers weren't even getting separation down the field. It wasn't like he was throwing to wide open guys. I think some of the first game jitters there, but I don't think our wide receivers did a good job winning on the outside last night to make, even on some of the Morris, the fade throws down there on the goal line where they probably should have been intercepting. I don't think our wide receivers did a good job picking up where the ball was at. They just kind of looked lost when they were running the fade routes down there. It just looked ugly. I mean, our passing game looked better in week one against SMU than it did against Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I was wondering whether or not Bethune-Cookman was like specifically ready for that, and that's going to be, you know, expected, and we got to be ready for a team that's ready to defend us. Or just, is SMU that awful? Question mark. Yeah, I agree with that. I wasn't at the game yesterday, so I can't really give you a, well, I saw some wide open guys, and because the camera angles on that stream were a little strange. It was cutting a little strange. We got like a lot of zooms on the quarterback for a longer period of time than we needed. But yeah, so, you know, some people were saying, well, you know, like, it seems like a different offense out there. Sort of, yeah. Once the game was kind of in hand and, you know, we put Alec Morris in there, the offense changed a little bit. We were running the ball more. The interception, Alec Morris's fourth on the year, which is disconcerting to say the least, especially because I predicted that he wouldn't throw so many terrible interceptions. it came on like on a tip pass, but it was, I would say it's, you know, half his fault, half the receiver's fault. He put the ball too high, the receiver touched it, and I feel like if you touch it, you got to catch the ball. That's what my coach always told me. And then it was tipped, then it was intercepted.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what happens when you throw a rocket pass, you know, 1 yard beyond the line of scrimmage in traffic. You know, those type of things tend to happen.
Yeah, I mean,
and then
you know,
it gets returned for a touchdown. I wouldn't say our offense looked different with Morris. It just, as far as play calling goes, it didn't look different in my eyes. It looked just kind of like we were going through the motions. I don't know. It just, it looked different in a sense that, I'm trying to think. It just looked different. You know, it wasn't in rhythm. There you go. With Mason Fine out there, I think there was more of a rhythm. He moved the offense. He kind of just managed. You know, you hate to put the term game manager because I don't like that term for a quarterback anyways. But that's kind of what it was. He was just managing the game. They were managing the game with their play calling. They weren't giving him too much, making it too difficult on him. And then when Alec Morris came in, it just kind of looked like the offense just hit the pause button. And the rhythm just wasn't there.
Yeah, and in that way, one, you can see the argument for Mason Fine over Alec Morris, and that Alec Morris has never looked like he's really comfortable managing the offense, and you can even add the spring game to that. Was it Quinn Chambord looked like he was more comfortable running the offense? And also that Seth Luttrell said as much. He said that Mason Fine comes in and he manages the team well. And that's a major aspect of quarterbacking. So, yeah, I agree. I don't like just saying, well, they're just good at being a game manager. I mean, that's part of the job description, you know. Managing the game, managing the call, getting everybody lined up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so, you know, Mason Fine was okay. He wasn't super great. He did a great job managing the team, though. He couldn't pass the ball downfield. Neither could Alec Morris. You know, I agree with the wide receiver thing. We got to figure that out. And I think these are part of the growing pains. You know, I kind of joked about the 100 yards, 121 yards of passing in this an air raid offense. Sometimes you're going to suck. And when you transition, no matter what. And I think this is part of that. I also think I really don't like that we went to this quarterback competition thing. I don't even know if you want to call it competition. But Luttrell did say, basically, Mason Fine's the starting quarterback for the rest of the year. But he kind of gave himself an out and say, well, you know, we're competing for positions every time. But, you know, right now, after the game, yeah, he's my starting quarterback.
A couple of people I want to give props to. One is Graham Harrell for, you know, okay, this is an air raid offense. He wants to throw the football. They want to throw the football. Realizing that it wasn't going to be there today or yesterday and sticking with the running game. And I think a lot of times as an offensive coordinator, they try and outsmart themselves by, okay, well, something's working, so I'm going to come back to it later. And he just stuck with it. Entire game, you know, same plays over and over and over again, and I think that's important for a young play caller, as he is, to to do that. You know, and you've mentioned it before, the air raid offense can be tweaked to be more of a running style offense, especially if you know, Dana Holgorsen at West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the other person is, you know, Willie Ivory. You know, having him, we wondered where he was last week. And for, you know, he came out and looked like our most explosive player last night.
Yeah, this is kind of addressing something that somebody asked us when, you know, I joked about it and someone was like, well, we don't really have the personnel. Yes and no. I mean, what was it in 99? Oklahoma was transitioning from a triple option team into the first year of Bob Stoops, and Bob Stoops hired Mike Leach to be his offensive coordinator. You know, they got a guy, they fit parts in there and they set records. I still think that we can and will set records here as everybody kind of gets comfortable, as a quarterback gets comfortable, and everybody has game experience under their belt. I still think that's very reachable. Maybe not from an individual standpoint, but from a team standpoint, and that's fine. It's all about the team anyway. You know, like running the ball right now, we still have our best position group. That's what I said in season preview, is our running back squad. You know, it's Jeffrey Wilson, Willie Ivory, you know, and Andrew Tucker. Those are like our best guys. And then, you know, you throw in Anthony Weish in there, and I think he played better than he did versus SMU. Want to note that here. And, yeah, like, I mean, so I mentioned this before, that the pure, you know, throw it all the time, no matter what, air raid offense version is Mike Leach. And if you saw them last night, they were getting lined up on 4th and 1. They didn't run the ball. They tried to run the ball, but, you know, they just don't do that. Threw the ball something like 71 times. That is just throw all the time, no matter what, in every situation. And then you look at something like, you know, TCU runs a version of the air raid. Texas Tech also, they had a better running game. And you look at us, right? We still have, you know, we're still oriented to running the ball. We have the personnel to run the ball. But I wouldn't say that we just don't have any personnel to run air raid. I just think we're just the execution standpoint. We threw for 237 yards last week. And I think spreading the ball out.
The thing with those two teams that you mentioned that run the ball more is, or that, you know, are kind of more balanced, is, you know, they have two quarterbacks that you can trust. I'm not sure that we have a quarterback that we trust yet, you know, that can do everything that they want to do yet.
Yeah, I agree there. And, like, so the idea is that you spread the ball out and you pass the ball first, but it doesn't mean that you pass the ball down the field. You pass the ball and you spread the defense out, and that opens up the run game. And I'll say that we did that. We spread the ball out. We threw the ball to the outside. It wasn't successful, but we at least attempted to do so. And then we were able to run the ball up the middle. I mean, those Willie Ivory gallops there at the end where he, you know, got over 100 yards came from, you know, two-by-two set, two wide receivers to each side. We're still spreading the defense. We're not lining up with two tight ends or power eye or something like that. Now, as I said, that's basically the kind of runs we're going to get. And, you know, we need to at least threaten the edges with our passing. We didn't have a good passing game today, but I don't think that's indicative of the future. What's up?
No, and even in those sets, when we were running the football, Bethune-Cookman was in, you know, man-to-man, almost looking like zero coverage, and we were still running the football against them, which that's something, you know, that speaks of the offensive line. But then it also, what we mentioned earlier, the wide receivers, it speaks of them not, you know, really trusting them. Or Bethune-Cookman doesn't really respect them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, it's also situation. You know, when we trust our quarterbacks a little bit more, or just they're just having a better game or more comfortable in the system, or we feel like, you know, it's more of a close game, or we think that their offense might challenge us, the opposition offense, we probably throw something there. So, I mean, that's kind of that. Yes, Willie Ivey was great. It's great to see him step in. I wrote in the season preview that Jeffrey Wilson is our best player, and I didn't see anything tonight or last night that really challenges that notion. I said, you know, we need guys to come in and spell him and basically see what, you know, see what we have down the line. I think we have good players, but they need to come in and prove it to keep him fresh. And they've done so.
Because he got banged up.
Yeah, again.
You know, he hurt his shoulder. I don't think it was serious. I think they just told it out to rest him. And, I mean, honestly, going into Florida next week, I probably wouldn't play him against Florida. If he's banged up, there's no need in that game to play him against Florida. I know he may want to play, but if I'm Seth Luttrell, I just hold him out.
Yeah, you know, I think that'd be real hard to do. I think maybe you just limit his playing time. I mean, playing against Florida at the Swamp is kind of what you sign up for college football to do. And so, although I agree with your, like, what you're saying from a strategy standpoint, I think that's real tough to do. At least, you know, give him a couple plays out there, you know?
Okay.
I feel like it's real hard, you know? Jeffrey Wilson's like, yeah, I'm excited to play. The Swamp, legendary venue.
Seth Luttrell's getting paid the big bucks is to make those calls.
Yeah, it's true.
He's getting paid to win games. And, you know, these guys are his family, too. You know, these are his kids. So does he want to, you know, I'm pretty sure that Seth Luttrell wants to play Wilson. Yeah. We know that. Okay, that's not even the question. The question here is the kid's health. Do I want to put him in a game where he might get even more banged up? Or do I want to let his shoulder rest? Because I know that the style that he runs with is one of, you know, he's a very physical, try to run over people. So I think that's the question that he has to have. And, you know, we'll just and how sore is the shoulder, you know? That's another thing.
Yeah, I think Coleman Feely was saying that it's kind of the kind of thing that it's not going to get any worse. It's just you just got to deal with it. And I can live with that. I, who is sitting on my couch and watching the game, can deal with that.
Speaking of, I want to give some, you know, Coleman Feely, I think he does a great job as a sideline reporter. I think I just like him overall. And I was watching the game streaming like you were. I actually think that eventually that Feely should replace Hank in the booth with Dave. I think he would be a great asset. I think the insights that he gives as, you know, a former player to the fans, I think that I really like him on the broadcast team.
I agree. He seems real smooth and natural. I guess that's why they hired him. Yeah, I agree. The camera work is pretty terrible, and I don't know, the audio for me at least was kind of cutting in and out. I don't understand why they were doing that. It was getting real quiet, and then they were just kind of getting...
It would be real quiet, and then, you know, we'd score a touchdown or have a big play, and then, you know, the volume would go up to like 40. It was like, you know, like maybe Dave was leaning away from the mic, and then whenever we'd have a big play, he'd lean into it and get after it. You'd be like, whoa, whoa. You definitely knew when North Texas did something positive last night.
All right, so kind of wrapping up the offense. Offensive line played well. Quarterback situation was iffy. Running backs, you know, were obviously great. Jeffrey Wilson, Willie Ivory. Standouts. Wide receiver, I mean, you know, that's part of the passing game. I didn't see anybody that stood out in particular. So I think we can wrap up the offense and say it was, you know, a C+, maybe a B because of the run game. The defense, hey man, that looked like the defense that we expected. Again, the kind of defense that we wrote in the preview would be the kind to look out for. An attacking defense that gets after the quarterback and causes mistakes. We got an interception, three sacks, and then was it five tackles for loss, six tackles for loss, something like that? I forget off the top of my head.
Something like that.
And, yeah, I mean, they look good. However, I will say that there are a couple times Bethune-Cookman left some points out in the field, basically. Some guys were running wide open, their quarterbacks, Larry Brim Jr. and the other guy that got to replace him. They were just, you know, missing guys. Wide open overthrows, or the receivers are just dropping passes. I don't know how much of that is the fact that we were getting after the quarterback and making him make hurried, rushed throws. That's what I like to think. And how much of that was just Bethune-Cookman just not having accurate quarterbacks? Your thoughts on that?
I think it's a little bit of both. I thought that the defense, overall, you have to like the progression from week one to week two. And again, Bethune-Cookman, you know, is a top 40 FCS team that, you know, they put up a lot of points last year. They can score. They had a lot of weapons. And I thought our guys just did a good job of executing. There was a few, you know, broken plays and whatnot, but that's to be expected when you're growing in a new defense and you're trying to forget everything you were taught from the past and move on to the future. I thought that they did a good job executing against the zone read. There was a few times where, you know, they had some breakdowns, but the first team group, you know, Finney played really well. The 18 Wheeler, Josh Wheeler, it's good to see him, you know, as the JUCO, he played really well. Hambone, he played well. I thought DeMonte Hood and Roderick Young, the two nose tackles for us, mm-hmm. I thought they played really well. It's good to have depth at that position, I'll say that. And then the secondary, McLean, he had the nice pick. You didn't really get to see much of James Gray. He wasn't really challenged well. He wasn't challenged a lot, sorry. You know, Nate Brooks, Chad Davis, they all played well. You know, it was good to see the defense really stand out last night.
Yeah, I was even encouraged to see the that long run at the end. I forget exactly. It was just like a quarterback keeper, just like a QB blast play. That was fun. I was glad to see that because I think maybe the defense might have been feeling too good. Gives Mike Eckler and the Tim Ruffett just kind of something to yell at him about this week.
At that point, they also had subs in there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm glad it happened because I want the defensive coaches to point those things out. You know what I mean? Like, to make everybody just not feel so good about themselves this week. Keep them on it.
Yeah. This is a good learning opportunity for Army down the road. Because when Bethune-Cookman is in those pistol sets and they're running read option, that's essentially pretty much like triple option. And there was one time when Bethune actually ran the option and they defended it really well. They had their, you know, Eric Jenkins, you know, he held the edge as the corner. The safety had the pitch man. And, you know, the linebacker took the quarterback. And it worked really well. So seeing that early on in the season will help them prepare for Army later. Because Army's a good team. They're rolling.
Yeah, they're 2-0, and they beat Temple, and then they handled Rice. Rice is not good. But Army did look good in beating them. Yeah, we'll get to the, in case you're wondering, you want to hear about that, old listener of the show, we'll talk about some of these Conference USA games a little bit later, probably towards the end of the show. I want to agree with you. Yes, defense. Courtney Finney led the team in tackles. All the guys that you mentioned played well, just basically agreeing with everything you said. I can't think of anybody that didn't play well. It was great to see penetration into the backfield, even on the run plays. You know, just guys are getting in the backfield blowing things up. It reminds me of, like, Chad Polk et al. In that 2013 defense. They were able to blow up, you know, some of Rice's little option plays in that famous Halloween game. Good times. Good times. It was good to see a defense being attacking. And look, it's a team game, right? We expect to win games with our offense and attacking defense, but in this one, the defense really carried the load. And no, I like it. It's good to see. I like defense. Special teams. I said that they kind of done. I was kind of tweeting. And a good friend of the show, Sean, was like, I really wouldn't. You call special teams dominate? All right, look, it was 140 characters, man. Give me a break. Special teams played better than your immediate reaction will be. They allowed a punt return touchdown. Yes, they got a punt block. But they also blocked a punt of their own. They played really well in coverage. They think they only allowed something like 15 yards on a return, on four returns. 15 average. And they kicked the ball well. We got two field goals, and they punted well. Punt coverage is great. So I think it's a net negative probably just because the blocks and the touchdown allowed. But I don't think it's just, wow, that special teams is awful. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, you knew they were going to get a block early in the game. Just at how close they were getting, you're like, okay, eventually we're going to block one of these. Giving up the long punt return, it was disappointing because, they said that he outkicked his coverage, which is probably true, but he also pinned the returner along the sideline. So, they should have been able to squeeze the lanes down and not allow him to do what he did. It only, on that play, it looked like there was literally maybe four UNT guys on the field. I was kind of wondering, where is everybody else at in this coverage unit? Because, it only took one block to spring him, and then he was gone. So that was disappointing. The blocked punt on our end was disappointing. Overall, they made some – it was good to see Trevor Moore make field goals, look like he did in the past because there was some issue in some of the scrimmages. I'm going to just say I was happy to see they made some improvements, but I don't think anything really stood out, and it was just kind of average in my mind.
Yeah, and that's fine. They made up for it. I'm glad they got in there and blocked the kick, like I said. I didn't like that they got a punt blocked. Really, the punt unit was the worst part. They allowed a return, and they got one blocked. Everything else is great. I think it's kind of difficult to just lump special teams all in one bucket when they're so different, such different aspects. But, like I said, the punt unit was probably not as great, but everybody else played really well. I think that's important. Obviously Florida has some athletes and have some guys that can return kicks, or get in there and get blocked, so you can't just be too lax there. It's going to give Coach Perry something to lose sleep over, I think. I wonder if he got his ass chewed out the way Lane Kiffin got his ass chewed out by Nick Saban. God damn it. That was hilarious. I don't like Lane Kiffin too much, and it was funny to see him get yelled at. Actually, got a raise. All right, where were we? We scored 41 points. First time we scored 40 in a while, I think since Nickel State. So last time we played an FCS school. It was a good
one. Almost beat Georgia yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. It was a funny day. That's the thing. All right, so let's talk a little bit about FCS games in general. How you feel about it? I've been of the mind that I don't mind one game. I don't want to see two. They're not so bad. That little bit of talent disparity is enough to work on some things on your team. We can try some things that, are a little risky that you don't want to try against the best team in your conference or any team in your conference. Because, a loss or something crazy has greater implications. I can see the argument for not playing them because, there are only 15,000 people on the stands. I think it's good. I think you wake up and for the average fan, you see, oh, North Texas won 41-20. Or a couple years ago, you see that North Texas, got a crazy win, 77-3. I really do think that losing to an FCS team is an anomaly. But it's a good time it's a good way to gauge who is all in, who has good practice habits, et cetera, there. In the same way, it's easy to get excited for Florida, right? It's easy to see everybody looking forward to that game. But who's paying attention? Who's working hard? Who's doing the things they're supposed to be doing when it's Bethune-Cookman? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
Cookman, again, was a top 40 team. And I think, probably the Portland State debacle last year helped rein in. It was a blessing in disguise for Seth Petrell. One, it gave him the job opportunity. And two, it allowed him to definitely make sure that this team was focused this year. There was no looking ahead to Florida.
Yeah, yeah. And, this weekend a lot of teams underperformed. They had some lower division squads, some lesser lights come in into their stadiums, and not all of them took care of business. I think something like all four FCS teams in Illinois won, and the FBS schools lost.
Yeah. Had LSU not made a change at quarterback, they probably would have lost to Jacksonville State, too.
Yeah, they're top five, top ten team, whatever they were. Yeah, so, you know, I don't dismiss these so easily. I saw a couple of fans like, well, just the FCS squad. And I don't think we can play that game if we're, you know. We can't be like, well, we got to look forward to this team. We got to take them seriously because last year we lost. And then when we win, we can't just say, well, you know, it's just an FCS team. You know, we got to take it for what it is. A win, it's a win against a good football team, against, a football team. And you got to appreciate that. Like I said, you got to accept that and realize it could be worse. Yeah, it could be better, but it could have been worse too. And I think you just accept it for what it is. Enjoy it. Enjoy the win. Pat everybody on the back. Feel good. And then you move on to next week, like you do with every one of these games. So there you go. There are my FCS thoughts. Only 15,000 in the stands. It doesn't really feel so good. But given the performance last week, last 2 years, you know, I'll take it. And, you know, and the opponent, Bethune-Cookman. I said that. Somebody tweeted at me like, did y'all play like a law firm? Or what is Bethune-Cookman? My mom was like, who? not a whole lot of people really know who Bethune-Cookman is, so they're not really excited about it. That's what happens. There you go.
Yeah, well, they'll be excited if we can upset Florida next week.
Oh, man, that's going to be huge. It's going to be real easy to find a watching party situation next week. I'll probably have to say I'm looking for the Florida game. No. can you put on the North Texas game? Who? The Florida game. Oh, okay. That's what's going to happen. And then I'm already mad about it.
Boy. Yeah, that game, you know, okay, so Florida, you know, they only win 25-7 against UMass. And, you know, I was thinking, well, if our offense could look really good tonight, I think maybe we could beat Florida. And then Florida goes and puts what? How many points? What'd they win by? Last I saw, they were up like 44-0 on Kentucky.
Yeah. But here's the thing, man. Kentucky just basically gave up. Kentucky's doing what we did last season, where they some of their players they interviewed them. I forget. Like basically, Kentucky's best player was like, some guys are quitting. We go down a couple touchdowns and they quit, and it's like the second quarter, guys. So
here's the thing to keep in mind about the Florida game, is that I think Florida plays Tennessee the week after us. Mm-hmm. So they just got done demolishing Kentucky. They're playing North Texas, who everybody's going to tell them is 128th in the country and the worst team in, you know, FBS and all this crap. And they're playing Tennessee, who looked good last night, finally kind of raising their potential or living up to their potential, which is, you know, that's going to be a huge matchup in the SEC East. So we saw it this week. We saw teams, you know, not being inspired to play. Florida's one of those teams where they're, you know, they're kind of predictable. They're not, it's not some wide open crazy offense. But the thing about that, you know, I'm trying to tell you that I think that it could be, you know, a close game. If we could pass the football, that's the whole thing. If we could pass the football, maybe it's a close game. If we can't pass the football, we're not going to score any points on them. The final score might be something like Tennessee last year, like 24-0.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Going into this game, I basically said if our offense is humming and we are, was it 2-0, like I expect us to be, you know, going into this game, I'd feel good. But you know, yeah, I think Florida would probably take us more seriously if we were 2-0 and we were looking good. As it is, I think we have that kind of, if we catch them sleeping, we might, you know, do well, catch them looking forward to Tennessee, who did look well, really good last night against Virginia Tech. Everybody was giving Tennessee crap for not playing well against Appalachian State. Appalachian State's a good team. And, I mean, Clemson. Clemson had a hard time against Troy yesterday. And, you know, I think somebody said, I don't really follow Sun Belt too closely anymore, but somebody said that Troy's really a better team than Appalachian State. So maybe everybody should, you know, take a step back on Tennessee. You know, realize maybe they were jumping the gun. Anyway, this is not SEC talk. There's enough of that. I do think Florida is pretty vanilla, and, you know, we can maybe pull an upset if we execute. Really, everything needs to click into place next week. I was telling somebody that basically the way you win one of these games, if you're under talented, I'll say, is that you out execute them. It's that it's not about, you know, like this offense is putting guys in position to score, but you have to execute there. You know, you can't try to just outrun somebody, run through eight tackles like we're doing against Bethune-Cookman. You shouldn't be doing that. That shouldn't be a part of your plan. It's like, we'll just, you know, break eight tackles. That's how you bog down. That's how you end up with the LSU's offense. Just give the ball to Leonard Fournette and see if he can run over everybody. You spread the ball around. Guys catch the ball. You get the yards that you can get, and you get down. What should happen is if both teams are playing well, you know, we can't make enough plays to win the game, you know. But we don't look bad. We don't hurt ourselves. Now, next week, I don't know if we can do that. I don't know if the quarterback's going to put the ball where he needs to put it. And, you know, so I don't know if we can pull the upset. But if everything clicks into place and Mason Twine uncorks a ridiculous game that puts him in the Hall of Fame in the minds of every North Texas fan, that would be amazing. That's what I'm hoping for. I really wish I was going to the game. I wanted to before the season, but it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to. And that is disappointing.
Yeah, that's very disappointing. And that's a huge letdown to, you know, all Mean Green Nation fans out there. I don't know what you're thinking.
Well, last week last year I had a good time in Knoxville, and I wrote about it. You know, it was my first time going to SEC country for one of our games. I wanted to go to Georgia the year before. Anyway, I was looking forward to going this time, but, like I said, meh. That's fine. I don't want to get eaten by an actual gator or get Zika virus. I'm fine. Maybe it's not so bad. Is it like a Doppler thing going on there? What's up? I heard something.
It's a train. I'm sitting outside. It's 60 degrees on a beautiful Sunday morning. You know, there's not a cloud in the sky. I got, you know, the trains, the Dart lines, if you're familiar with up here, it runs right by my apartment, so. Yeah, I'm on the fifth floor. I'm overlooking Lake Carolyn right now. Beautiful.
Look at you. I mean, living the life.
I'm gonna talk. Yeah, I know. I'm gonna talk Mean Green football outside today.
I like it. I'm kind of looking over my notes here from what I wrote yesterday. Yeah, I hit all the points. I hit all the points on the offense defense. Here's the thing: is that Bethune-Cookman is an FCS team, and I think we were favored to win. I was saying, look, despite what they say about like can't look past anybody, I expected us to win, and I expected us to win essentially by this score. And that we did makes me feel good. I'm concerned about the offense. I think you're concerned about the offense. We all are, and I think so is the coach. So are the coaches. We'll get that together. I don't really buy the notion that we don't have the talent to do it. We're just not really fitting together, right? We got to figure out who's going to be who everywhere in game situations. We've only played two games. We had one okay game. Passing the ball. And then next week, you know, we didn't really need to pass the ball so much. So, you know, it's fine. I expect this thing will even out towards the end of the season.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. We had a 300-yard passing game, and we've had a 300-yard rushing game.
There you go. That's balance for the average fan. I like that. All right, so we have 15 minutes.
Even though the offense... Yeah, even though the offense was, you know, struggling, compare what we've done in the past two games to what we've done in all of last year. Yeah. And I think that will make you feel, okay, I can live with it. This is positive.
Yeah, I definitely do. Against, if you take, and this is not a good comparison, but if you take the FCS game we played last year and the SMU game we played last year and directly compare the numbers, night and day. Night and day. Obviously, two wins versus, two losses versus 1-1. And, you know, successful offensive playing versus just, you know, I don't even know what to call that last season. It was like under 50% passing for both of those games last season. So, yeah, I feel good about yesterday's win. We're going to learn less about the team next week against Florida than, you know, than we did today. And, you know, that's fine. I take that back. What we'll learn is, like, who's competing and who's executing. Go ahead, what's up?
You can't really say we're going to learn less. You don't know those things yet. You think That's we're going to learn less, but we might learn a whole lot about this team next week. They yeah. might surprise us. So, I mean.
Yeah, you know, we may realize that Alec Morris has a little Derek Thompson in him. And that, you know, against competition that's just kind of meh, G5 competition, that's when he throws iffy passes. And when he plays a big-time competition, that's when he, you know, he has like a 75% completion game and 400 yards. You know what? I wouldn't hate that. We'll just start Mason Fine against G5, and we'll start Alec Morris against the big-time schools.
We'll see. Yeah, I don't think so. You know, Mason Fine is the starting quarterback going forward, so.
Look, again, he's decisive. That's the thing to look forward to. That's the thing to kind of write down, you know, when you're sitting in the stands. You're like, why are we starting it? Because he's decisive. He, you know, he gets the ball. He knows where to go with it. And then he makes a decision. And then he either runs or he does all that. I think one of the biggest concerns is that he's a tiny guy. And I saw more than one tweet about him saying the guy's going to get killed out there. And, you know, he got hurt. But that was just a... It was pretty typical quarterback hurt situation, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
All this makes me feel like we're watching Riley Dodge again, and it's not really that great either. Let's go through Conference USA quickly, as we have, like I said, 15 minutes left in the game. Let's start with Colorado State UTSA game. I streamed it on Campus Insiders. Good news about that feed is that it was pretty solid. It's pretty okay feed. Didn't have too many problems with it, if any. Colorado State pretty much manhandled UTSA at the line of scrimmage. Held UTSA to -1 yard rushing. A lot of that was because they sacked the quarterback a ton. And outside of a couple scares there, Colorado State pretty much controlled this game. It was 20-14 at halftime. The game ended 23-14. Pretty solid win for Colorado State, who got destroyed last week by Colorado in their big rivalry game. UTSA struggled last week against an FCS competition. What does that mean for us?
I don't know. Colorado State was also playing without their starting quarterback. And a couple other starters were down for that game, too. I watched a little bit, too.
I think they're going with Fauda. Is it Bauda? Bauda. They're going with Bauda. That basically, they made the switch. He's going to be the new starter. He's their Mason Fine, except he's a senior. But, yeah.
Well, he looked pretty crappy, too. So, you had two pro-style offenses going against each other. So, it was kind of like old school college football,
yeah,
you know, 1990s college football right there. Toss sweep for Colorado State, and UTSA could not stop that at all. You were like, okay, all right, here comes the toss sweep, and they can't stop it. Fourth and goal from the two, and they're going with the toss sweep. Touchdown. All right. I feel, we were all talking about UTSA's offense, you know, the pro style, it's supposed to be, you know, good there. They do have some good running backs there, and their offensive line was supposed to be better this year. And they come out and have -1 yards rushing. And really, I think their leading rusher only had 36 yards by himself anyways. So they go to the pro style, can't run the ball. We go to the air raid, we can't throw the ball. It's kind of funny.
It is really funny. I think we kind of predicted this coming into the season that their coach Wilson out there was out recruiting us, making headlines. Everybody was kind of freaking out. You had questions about the pro style offense. You're like, why are they getting these guys? I don't really understand transition. Neither do I. And it doesn't look like they have it figured out just yet. So, I think if we played them next week, I think we'd handle them pretty easily. As we're playing them kind of in October, I think both teams will be a lot different than they are now. So, I mean, at present, UTSA hasn't quite figured it out. And their leading rusher, Jarvion Williams, he's not really getting a whole lot of playing time. I don't think they think he's really great at pass protection. So, you know.
Well, he had a sprained ankle, so.
Well, yeah, that too. But, you look at our guy, our best running back. We made an offensive change. I think he's producing better. You know, he has 3 touchdowns on the year in 2 games. Last year, he only had 1. His yards per carry is really high. You know, we're getting the ball in his hands. And you look over there, not so much. Speaking of terrible offense, we kind of mentioned this before. Rice doesn't look good. And they lost to a good Army team, but they did not look good at all. Stealing was 16 of 30 for 197 yards. Pick, touchdown. I was unimpressed by what I saw from Rice.
Yeah, they had trouble with Army's physical running game. They couldn't really, you know, match up well to stop the option. They couldn't execute well, stay in their lanes, make the correct tackles, you know, do all that stuff you need to do to stop the option. They couldn't do it. And then their quarterback play is pretty bad. But I still – they can kind of still run the football. But, yeah, they did not look good. So, you know, hey, in this week's Conference USA Power Rankings, we should be ahead of Charlotte and probably Rice. But, you know, with Charlotte, you know, they won their FCS game against Elon like 47-13, and everybody was on Charlotte last week for giving up 77 to Louisville. Well, I mean, Louisville just put 62 on Syracuse, so you're like, yeah, maybe Charlotte really isn't that bad, and Louisville is just that damn good.
Yeah, speaking of Louisville, I watched that game on Friday, and man, that dude was Jackson.
Yeah.
That kid's he's a beast. He almost was in the 400-200 club, but he lost a yard. And so he was in the 411-yard passing and 199-yard club, which is a very exclusive club.
Why?
Oh, you speaking know, of, speaking
Florida of State, Louisville next week.
Yeah, that's in Conference USA action. UTSA is going to take on Arizona State, who scored 65 points in that against Texas Tech yesterday. Texas Tech has all offense and zero defense. Like, the one dude had 13 touches, 8 touchdowns. They're running back. So
yeah, UTSA probably has more defense than Texas Tech.
Yes, I think so. Also, Old Dominion lost to Appalachian State, a good Appalachian State team, 31-7. I don't really care too much about Old Dominion because I don't think they're going to make any noise in the other division, and they're not on our schedule, so we'll just note that score. Western Kentucky played Alabama, only lost 38-10. Are you impressed by this, you know, showing?
You know, for the first quarter, I guess much like USC, they hung in there. They made some plays. Their quarterback, I really only watched like a quarter and a half. They were playing better than USC was against Alabama. So I think it's pretty impressive to go on the road into Alabama. Alabama probably overlooked them a little bit, but still. I thought they played well. I thought they played well enough to keep them as the best team in Conference USA.
Yeah, I agree. Mike White, who threw for 514 yards last week, only threw for 135 this week against a very good Alabama defense. I mean, I don't think we could learn very much from Western Kentucky in this game. Middle Tennessee, they got their asses handed to them by Vanderbilt, 47-24. I think
that was disappointing.
Yeah, especially hilarious that a lot of the Middle Tennessee fans that I see that I follow on Twitter spent the week talking all the noise to Vandy fans, and they were real quiet yesterday, and that was hilarious.
I think they I flipped over to that channel a couple times. It looked like they were having trouble protecting their quarterback there.
Stockstill.
Yeah.
He had a nice game, though, at least numbers-wise, but, yeah, they didn't really do too much. Couldn't really move the ball, and they allowed Vandy to score a little easily. Marshall won 62-0. I don't really care. It was against Morgan State. I think what's notable is that Chase Litton threw 6 touchdowns on only 16 attempts, completing 13 of them for 309 yards. I mean, didn't seem like they were challenged at all. Marshall, interestingly, has a schedule like we did, was it last year, where you have the one bye week to start the season and then, you know, 12, 13 straight games. Miami beat FAU 38-10. I want to say this was a little closer earlier. Yeah, it was, you know, 0-0 at the end of the first. Miami just kind of pulled away towards the end. I didn't watch any of this game or even read about it.
I didn't either.
FAU is one of those teams that everybody kind of picked to kind of be a dark horse. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, Driscoll's brother at quarterback played well last week. Their defense is really good. It's one of the better ones in Conference USA. So, yeah. And then I don't think we really know how good Miami is yet. So.
Right. Next week, Florida Atlantic takes on Kansas State. Then they have Ball State. Then they begin conference play. So, still some time before we learn anything about FAU. So there you go. As you mentioned, Charlotte whooped up on Elon, 47-14. I don't really know if there's too much to say there besides that. Next week they take on Eastern Michigan, then Temple, then they begin conference play. So, sometime yet. Southern Miss, 56-0 against Savannah State. Not a whole lot to learn there. Next week they take on Troy. That will be an interesting game. Then they begin conference play and take on UTEP the week after. So we'll learn more about Southern Miss very quickly. Texas beat up on UTEP in a game that went about went as expected. I think UTEP kind of played them close, but Texas was never really in danger. And then talent went out, and then they just kind of won going away 41-7. But UTEP didn't really. They looked like the team that we thought they were. They didn't really play poorly or play really well. They played like UTEP. But, you know, they're not as talented. The end. They take on Army next week. So we'll learn some things.
That'll be a good
also.
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Louisiana Tech, on another team that took on a FCS school, allowed 24 points, but scored 53. I don't really have much to say about it. Well,
that was an interesting game. It was like delayed 3 hours, and they started it back up at like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it was. Was it 19-10 at halftime, and then Louisiana Tech just came out and scored all the points. I think what's interesting here is that Louisiana Tech looked good against Arkansas, who just upset TCU in a pretty incredible game, I must say. Ryan Higgins had 409 yards passing in this one. Louisiana Tech takes on, who do they take on next week? They take on Texas Tech. So they should be able to score all the points.
That'll be an interesting game, too.
It will. And then after that Tech game, they take on Middle Tennessee in their first conference game. We don't take on Louisiana Tech until November. So a long time yet before we figure out the team that we're going to play. Yeah, so in case you're going to be Conference USA watching, next week on Friday, UTSA takes on Arizona State, Rice takes on Baylor. So there you go. And obviously we take on Florida next week on ESPNU. FYI.
All right.
Yeah, man. Good stuff.
That's all I got.
Yeah. I think we're going to wrap this one up. We took care of business on this episode. Just like UNT took care of business against Bethune-Cookman. We'll have more things to kind of go over this week on the blog. And I think we'll have a breakdown. You didn't do a breakdown for Bethune-Cookman.
Maybe I shouldn't do one for Florida. We won, so.
The gods have spoken. It's going to be easier to – we'll have some games to analyze from Florida. But then Cookman had half a game. They had a scrimmage, basically. So there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy your day. Enjoy your Sunday. Greg's going to change his green into – was it orange? Is that what you call that?
Already wearing orange, brother.
Already wearing – oh, jeez. I'm still wearing green right now. Yeah. I'm going to put on my Dallas Cowboys gear a little bit later. Ladies and gentlemen, the Dak Prescott era begins now.
After the Browns game, I'm going to change into my Eli Manning jersey.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Mean Green Nation podcast. You can tweet at us, Mean Green Nation, or MGN_breakdown, the letters Greg. You can email us, podcast@meangreennation.com. You leave a comment on the site. Let us know what you think of the show, our voices, whatever, the game. Let us know. We'll talk about it. This is also, we can just have a conversation about our favorite little college football team. See you next week. Go Mean Green.